This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Shootouts takes a trooper's life. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Friday, April 1. Glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A Virginia State trooper in a training exercise at a Richmond bus station has been shot and killed. The gunman with a long criminal history was in turn killed by other troopers.
On the campaign trail, new polling shows Republican Ted Cruz leading Donald Trump in Wisconsin and Democrat Bernie Sanders leading Hillary Clinton.
Violent weather hits Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama and now has its sights set on Georgia and the Carolinas.
And a makeover for the worst busy airport in the world.
Terminals C and D, which are primarily occupied by Delta, will also be renovated and mated with the central terminal building. So you'll have one big, long, skinny, kind of hockey stick-shaped building that will be LaGuardia Airport.
Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney on the massive undertaking at LaGuardia Airport in New York City. He's here in about 20 minutes. A Virginia State trooper on a training exercise with his squad has been shot and killed at a bus terminal in Richmond. The gunman was then shot and killed by other troopers. 37-year-old trooper Chad Dermeyer was among those taking part in drug interdiction training with about a dozen others at a bus station yesterday afternoon when he approached a male just inside the station doors. State police said the male then pulled out a gun and shot him multiple times. As the man fired, two troopers returned fire. A woman named Julia was part of the frightening moments.
This man was like, get down, threw me to the ground. He's like, crawl, crawl. So I crawl and we get outside and he's like, we're going to run.
Officer Dermeyer graduated from the academy in 2014 after serving as an officer in Jackson, Michigan and in Newport News, Virginia. He was also a Marine. Mr. Dermeyer, who grew up in Michigan, is survived by his wife and two children. The state police superintendent, by the way, Colonel Stephen Flaherty, reportedly learned of the shooting while attending an event honoring police officers killed in the line of duty. To Washington now. President Obama is meeting with more than 50 world leaders to discuss nuclear weapons, but it was Mr. Obama's meeting with President Xi Jinping of China that captured most of the attention yesterday. The New York Times says the two announced that the U.S. and China would sign a climate change accord later in April, a rare show of unity. Meanwhile, the two found more common ground on the issue of sanctions against North Korea for its recent missile tests.
It is important to the entire international community to vigilantly enforce the strong U.N. security measures that were passed in light of some of the ballistic missile and nuclear activity that Pyongyang has been engaging in.
That said, North Korea fired a short-range missile into the sea again today. Officials in South Korea said it happened just as world leaders warned the North it will face tougher sanctions if it continues with provocations. Meanwhile, Politico today says Mr. Obama is undermining his own goals of preventing the spread of nuclear weapons by cutting the proposed budget for nuclear security while increasing spending to upgrade the U.S. atomic arsenal. A new poll finds Texas Senator Ted Cruz leading businessman Donald Trump in the Republican nomination contest in Wisconsin. The Fox Business Network poll released yesterday shows Mr. Cruz gets 42% among Wisconsin likely GOP primary voters, while Mr. Trump receives 32%. John Kasich comes in third with 19%.
I don't believe Donald Trump is going to be the nominee, and this underscores his problem. This is why I stay in the race. Look, people say, why does he stay in the race? What, am I supposed to get out and leave it to these guys?
Mr. Kasich is the Ohio governor. Meanwhile, as he tries to recover from a series of stumbles ahead of Tuesday's primary in Wisconsin, Mr. Trump made a surprise appearance in Washington yesterday and presented himself as the presumptive leader of his party. He met with foreign policy advisors, huddled with Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus, and predicted that he would bring harmony to the fractured GOP, even tweeted a message that said, quote, looking forward to bringing the party together, and it will happen. Meanwhile, observers say a victory by Senator Cruz in Wisconsin would increase the likelihood of a contested convention in July. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us, and good Friday to you. We get the latest look at the jobs picture today when the Labor Department releases the unemployment report for March. Here's a preview from Pat O'Keefe, Director of Economic Research at Cohn-Reznick in New Jersey. Pat, what can we expect?
The consensus among those of us who do forecasts is right around 200,000. We're a little bit below that. But we have to keep in mind, when we're talking about 180,000 jobs net gain in a month against an economy that has over 140 million jobs, these are very thin numbers. So the disagreement among us is like the moat's eye in a puddle of water. It's really not meaningful. We expect a positive number somewhere around 200,000.
What are some of the other headlines in your forecast, Pat?
I think the one number that may draw the most attention will be labor force participation. That is the share of those in the population who are 16 years of age and over, who are either with a job or actively looking for a job. And the reason this is important is because it's the broadest measure of the engagement of our human resource. It's over the past 10 years, it has declined. Last year, it was at one of the lowest levels in 40 years. But what we've seen over the last 6 months is a gradual improvement in the labor force participation rate, which means an increasing number of our eligible individuals are re-engaging with the labor market. And over time, that's beneficial because eventually they'll get jobs, they'll get incomes, and they'll propel the economy forward with increased spending.
We're speaking with Pat O'Keefe, Director of Economic Research at Cohn-Reznick. Do you think those gains will continue?
We hope so, but we don't know. The decline in labor force participation is partially due to the boomers who are increasingly retiring, but it's largely due to a drop-off in participation by those in their prime work age years, and that's where we are seeing the improvement. We hope it continues, but it's not an unalloyed good if it does continue to go up.
What are the implications, Pat, of the labor force participation rate increase?
If the rate of increase continues or accelerates, but the pace of jobs growth, which over the last 3 years has been the strongest in more than a decade, but the pace of that jobs growth doesn't similarly accelerate, we would see at least temporarily rising unemployment rates because we'd have more people in the economy looking for jobs, not finding them immediately. And as that rate began to drift up, it might begin to send mixed signals both to the general economy as well as to the Federal Reserve in terms of monetary policy. Is the unemployment rate going up for virtuous reasons that more people are looking and will find jobs, or is it going up because the economy is not keeping up?
Ultimately, what do you think that'll mean for the Fed?
I think throw another question mark into the Fed's deliberations. As we saw in the chairwoman's speech earlier this week, she laid out a case for being cautious in the movement of rates because of international conditions. If we were to see some weakening in domestic conditions, that would really put the Fed in a box. They are still at very low rates. They have very little ammunition left if they need to stimulate the economy. And so that mixed signal might just complicate their decision making.
Thanks, Pat. Pat O'Keefe, Director of Economic Research at Cohn-Reznick in northern New Jersey. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
In the face of mounting threats from North Korea, President Obama's urging closer security ties among its chief allies in Asia and increased cooperation with China to discourage Pyongyang from making further advances in nuclear weapons. The president's hosting world leaders for a nuclear security summit.
We are united
in our efforts to deter and defend against North Korean provocations.
President Obama met with Chinese President Xi yesterday and both called for North Korea to give up its nuclear weapons. China also agreed to implement in full the latest economic restrictions imposed by the UN Security Council against Pyongyang. When an under-construction overpass collapsed and killed at least 23 people in the Indian city of Kolkata, the images were shocking. Massive fallen steel girders, taxis crumbled under slabs of concrete, and dozens of people trapped. But what happened after was familiar in the country of 1.3 billion. The local government blamed private builders and the previous government, and the builders called it an act of God. Many construction projects in India are mired in delays, allegations of corruption, poor quality materials, and inadequate supervision. Bernie Sanders told supporters in New York City that voter turnout in the state's April 19th primary could affect the path of his campaign.
If we win here in New York, we are going to make it to the White House.
Sanders reiterated his positions on fighting income inequality, creating a single-payer health care system, and raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. He was joined at last night's rally in the Bronx by actress Rosario Dawson and director Spike Lee. A federal judge has overturned Mississippi's ban on allowing same-sex couples to adopt children. The judge ruled for the couples who had sued, saying the ban is unconstitutional after recent U.S. Supreme Court decisions legalizing gay marriage and benefits for gay couples. And Beyonce is launching an activewear line for women called Ivy Park. The singer says she wants the collection to inspire women who understand that beauty is more than physical appearance. The clothing line will be available online and in stores, including Nordstrom and Selfridges.
There you go. All right. It'll be form-fitting stuff, I presume.
And she needs more money.
So. Right. It's 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to the state that went from 49th to 10th best in corporate business income tax, where 2,000 burdensome and unnecessary regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years, and is now home to the 6th best entrepreneurial climate. All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice of your business. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more.
When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy for you to create your stunning website. Go to Wix.com and create your website today. It's easy and free. That's Wix.com.
Hey, glad you're with us. New York City's LaGuardia Airport is about to undergo a giant historic remodeling. Construction on a $4 billion project is scheduled to start in June. 5 years from now, LaGuardia will be one large hockey stick-shaped modern terminal, according to Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney. He says LaGuardia may not be the worst airport in the world, but it is certainly the worst busy airport. Scott, what's ahead for LaGuardia?
The plan will take years and really is a complete rebuilding of the airport. The airport has, there's the Marine Air Terminal, which is on the other side of the airfield, but the core of the airport is called the Central Terminal Building. And it handles about half of the traffic. It was built in 1964 and basically is much the same as it was in 1964. So that will be knocked down in phases. A parking garage in front of it will be knocked down as well. The new terminal will actually move 600 feet closer to the highway to create more space. And it will, in phases, be completely rebuilt. Then terminals C and D, which are primarily occupied by Delta, will also be renovated and mated with the central terminal building. So you'll have one big, long, skinny, kind of hockey stick-shaped building that will be LaGuardia Airport.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney. Did the problems come more into focus when Vice President Biden called it a third world airport?
Yeah, the airport actually opened long before 64. The Central Terminal Building is what opened in 64. And Biden, with some degree of, I think at the time he was trying to make a point with his statement, likened it to being in a third world airport. It's in some ways, if you look around in, depending on your definition of the third world, in the developing world, there are great airports, and any airport of the size of LaGuardia, which handles about 27 million people a year, we couldn't find one that of a big airport that you would say, oh, gee, that's worse than LaGuardia. They've all, the older ones have been rebuilt, and there are newer ones. Airports are key economic development drivers for anywhere, including the New York region. And so most everybody else has addressed this. The Port Authority, there are all kinds of internal tensions there. They also handle Newark and Kennedy airports. There are tensions between the New Jersey and the New York side, between spending money at Kennedy and Newark, over LaGuardia, tensions with other transportation projects, the PATH trains, with real estate projects. The Port Authority has a lot going on, and what they haven't done anything about is LaGuardia. And so Biden made the comment. Governor Cuomo in New York has really been pushing to fix LaGuardia. I think the Biden comment really pushed the politics on this.
Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal airline editor and travel writer Scott McCartney. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You don't have to be a retail giant or government agency to be the victim of a costly data breach. If you run a website and collect customer data, your small to mid-sized business is just as likely to be targeted by hackers. The Barracuda Web Application Firewall provides cost-effective instant security against automated and targeted attacks, making this WAF a must-have for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Web App Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/WAF.
Hey, glad you're with us on this Friday, April 1. Welcome aboard. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. A Virginia State trooper is shot and killed in Richmond. So was his attacker. An Alabama police officer was reportedly shot after he surprised a drug deal in the wee hours of this morning. He's expected to survive. Violent weather in the South. North Korea test-fired another missile today. New polling shows Cruz leading Trump in Wisconsin ahead of Tuesday's primary and Sanders leading Clinton. And how China doesn't understand April Fool's Day. That story in about 20 minutes. As Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump aim to clinch their party's nominations, Mrs. Clinton, the former Secretary of State, is poised to start the general election campaign with a far more sophisticated operation in key swing states than Mr. Trump, the real estate mogul from New York. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Rebecca Ballhouse. Rebecca, what'd you look at?
So what we were looking at is there are a couple swing states where people have already voted and these campaigns have had to build up these big operations, particularly in Iowa and New Hampshire, where they have the year to prepare for those primaries and caucuses. And what we were looking to see was whether or not they left some of their operation in place so that they could ramp right back up again for the general election. And what we found is that Hillary Clinton has left an office open in Des Moines. She has a couple of field organizers there. They have a bunch of volunteers being coordinated. And they're there right now for the purpose of sort of finishing out the primary. They're making sure that delegates are elected who support Hillary Clinton to go to the national convention this summer. But more importantly, having that operation there means that they're going to be able to reactivate their work there very quickly once the general election begins, provided that she becomes the nominee. Donald Trump, however, his top two operatives are no longer working for the campaign. They have, it seems like, one primary operative remaining in Iowa who is a former contestant on The Apprentice, his reality TV show. And it just seems like he has a much less sophisticated operation still in place in these states, and he had a much smaller ground game to begin with than Hillary Clinton did.
Got it. All right, so what could that mean, I guess, over the next, I don't know, weeks or months?
Well, what that will mean is that if a general election comes down to a face-off between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, she's going to be ahead when it begins, because he's going to have to sort of start from scratch, is what a lot of strategists told me, and, you know, re-coordinate his volunteer list and get more people on the ground and open up some offices. And she, it seems like she, while she's put a lot of her operations on halt, they're very ready to go again. And to be sure, his strategy of not really relying on a ground game has worked for him in most states so far, but he did come in second place in Iowa, where they really do prize ground game operations and retail campaigning. And it's also less clear that his sort of public relations strategy is going to work as well when it's a one-on-one race, unlike the very crowded Republican field that we've seen in the primary.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Rebecca Ballhaus. Her piece is called Clinton Digs In as Trump Moves On. We're talking about ground games in places like Iowa and New Hampshire. Is his game necessarily stronger in other states? And Iowa's just a blip on the screen?
Well, so I looked at Iowa and New Hampshire mainly, but it does seem that across the board, he's not really focusing on ground game as much as he is on these big rallies and, you know, cable network appearances and building up his publicity. It's less about turning out volunteers and getting a really coordinated operation on the ground.
What about somebody, or what about people like, say, Bernie Sanders or Ted Cruz?
So Ted Cruz, we've seen, and Bernie Sanders both have really excellent ground game operations. It seems like Ted Cruz has been really focused, as we've written a lot about, on the delegate race, and making sure that delegates who support him are sent to the convention this summer in the event that it becomes a contested convention. So he seems to have a really strong operation on the ground, as Bernie Sanders does too. For the purposes of this story, we were talking about a general election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, because that seems to be at this point the most likely outcome.
Yeah.
But it's not to say that these other contenders don't also have equally strong opposition.
Thanks, Rebecca. Wall Street Journal reporter Rebecca Ballhaus. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by LifeLock. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock Ultimate Plus provides the most comprehensive identity theft protection. Go to LifeLock.com and use promo code Gordon for 10% off. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online. We're joined now live by Google Trends expert Nina Tyler. Nina, where do we begin?
Well, we begin with North Carolina's controversial new law. This law, it overturns existing state protections against discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, and it also puts a number of restrictions on transgender people as well. And so we've seen people coming to Google to find out more, people wanting to know, how do you repeal a bill in North Carolina? What is the North Carolina anti-discrimination law? So a lot of interest around this. You know, a lot of corporations have come out, you know, and spoken out against it as well.
Yeah. All right. Egypt Air also with that scary incident.
Yes, Egypt Air, a very scary incident this week. It was hijacked by a man who was desperate to see his ex-wife, and so people wanted to learn more about the incident. They also wanted to see some of the selfies that were taken with this man, and we've gotten a little more information, and I guess these selfies were taken by members of the crew because they wanted to take photos of the explosives they had strapped around him so that they could send it to the authorities so that they could be more prepared for what they could expect.
Yeah, and more later in the week, obviously, more recently this week, the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team.
That's right. This happened later in the week. Five of the top players from the U.S. National Women's Soccer Team, they filed a complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, saying that they're paid significantly less than their male counterparts. And so they just want to be paid fairly. And this is something that we've seen, you know, a lot of discussion in, you know, in the debates and in the presidential election, you know, equal pay for women. And so this is just kind of bringing it to, you know, to a national scale yet again.
Yeah. I got to bring up, too, this clip from YouTube, Jennifer Lopez on carpool karaoke with James Corden, and he teases her about getting access to her cell phone.
I'm going to text Leonardo DiCaprio. Hey, Leo.
Don't say Leo, because I would never say Leo.
Oh, what would you say? Hey, man.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby. Okay. Hey, baby. I'm kind of feeling...
No!
No, let me write it. I'm kind of feeling like I need to cut loose.
This has become one of the funniest bits on television. He does a great job with that.
He does a great job with carpool karaoke, and whenever he does one, it's almost guaranteed to go viral.
Yeah.
And so in this one, he texts Leonardo DiCaprio, and you think that's the end of it. They start talking and laughing and singing again, and then all of a sudden you get a text back from Leo DiCaprio, and you know he says, "Hey boo boo,
right.
Are you thinking something club wise?"
Right.
You know, and so it's just kind of a funny exchange, and you realize that she and Leo, they have a really great relationship.
Good
and
stuff.
This video, it has over 18 million views and counting since being uploaded on Wednesday. So
incredible.
It's hot, hot, hot right now.
Very funny stuff. Nina, thanks for a few minutes as always. Google Trends expert Nina Tyler with us live this morning. It is 14 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 4000 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 4000.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, April Fools. Be careful today. This portion of the program is brought to you by Cameron Hughes Wine. Cameron Hughes Wine is a sure thing. No more worrying about what wine to pick or if it will be any good. Right? You got to keep that in mind if you have, say, Friday night pizza night tonight like we do. The unique way that Cameron buys surplus wine allows him to sell it directly to us at a deep, deep discount. Did you know, for example, that the average price of high-end Napa Valley Cabernets in Wine Spectator is about $155 a bottle? $155. Cameron Hughes had three of those cabs on the list, averaging about $30 per bottle. Now, legally, he's not allowed to reveal which vineyards he negotiates with to buy the surplus wine. So it's kind of cool because it adds a little mystery and intrigue when you uncork your bottle. Now, Cameron Hughes doesn't typically offer discounts because his prices can be up to 80% less than the original label. But there is a terrific offer on the table right now for our listeners. Buy any five bottles and get one bottle of Pinot Noir free. This Pinot Noir is my pick, by the way. Oh, and for the first time in my life, I drank a single bottle of this stuff by myself about two Fridays ago. You'll also receive free shipping. CHWine.com for an excellent Pinot Noir for free, plus free shipping. The only way to get your free bottle plus free shipping on your first order is to go to chwine.com, then enter the code DEAL. That's CH, like Cameron Hughes, chwine.com. Shop for your wine, pick any five bottles, then enter my code DEAL at checkout. Don't wait, it's a limited time offer. chwine.com with code DEAL. It's 9 minutes before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a state trooper and a gunman are dead after an active shooter situation at a Greyhound bus station in Richmond, Virginia, yesterday afternoon. 37-year-old trooper Chad Dermeyer was killed by a man with a long criminal history who in turn was killed by two other troopers. Vincent Smith works at a U-Haul next door to the bus station.
A police officer came and said, you need to get inside and you need to stay inside and lock the door until we come and tell you it's safe to come back out.
Two women were also injured during the incident but are expected to be okay. Tough week for Donald Trump. While Trump was never popular outside of his loyal slice of GOP voters, a raft of new polls shows his national position hitting new lows, including with groups that are supposed to form his base. Recent polls indicate that on average, 30% hold a favorable view of Trump, while 63% hold a negative one. Trump is trailing Ted Cruz in Wisconsin, which holds its primary on Tuesday. Uncle Sam is expanding a program to help the poor pay for internet access. The FCC has voted to extend the $1.5 billion $9 Lifeline program beyond the basic phone service. Low-income people can apply for a $9.25 monthly subsidy to be used for internet service. It's the latest federal government attempt to close a digital divide between those who have access to the internet and those who don't. How's the labor market looking? We'll find out this morning when the government releases the employment report for March. Economists expect employers added about 200,000 jobs, while the unemployment rate held steady at 4.9%. And there may be a correlation between football injuries and game time temperature. A new study finds NFL players have a significantly greater risk of concussions and ankle injuries when games are played at colder temperatures. Researchers who studied weekly injury reports from all 32 teams for two seasons found that players had a twofold greater risk of concussions and a 1.5 higher risk for ankle injuries when games were played in 50 degrees or lower.
Wow, that's weird.
It is a little weird.
Speaking of those injuries and stuff, I watched on my day off yesterday Concussion.
Oh, did you?
Oh, man.
You
what
liked
a
it?
Good movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I missed it when I was in the theater. I definitely want to catch that.
Holy cow. I guess it just came out on demand for rental on Fios. Jeez.
Yep.
And the FBI showing up to trump up some charges against like the lead coroner in Pittsburgh just out of nowhere with all this. Wow. It just did not paint the NFL in a very good light. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy for you to create your stunning website. Go to Wix.com and create your website today. It's easy and free. That's Wix.com.
Thanks for being with us. No joke, April Fool's Day has been banned in China. The Washington Post says the ancient tradition of hoaxing and playing practical jokes on the first day of April has fallen victim to China's crackdown. Like democracy and free speech, it is a Western concept that simply is not welcome there. As part of a long-running effort to win control of the narrative on social media and deter dissent, China's Communist Party launched a campaign 3 years ago to criminalize the spreading of rumors. Xinhua's Post suggests an April Fool's Day prank that mocked or undermined the party could have potentially serious consequences. The Post says that China's propaganda apparatus has a problem with satire, and it's long been evident. In 2012, the People's Daily fell for a satirical report in The Onion, voting North Korean leader Kim Jong-un the sexiest man alive. The Communist Party newspaper ran a 55-page photo spread in tribute to Kim, quoting The Onion as celebrating his devastatingly handsome looks, round face, boyish charm, and strong, sturdy frame, not realizing that it was satire. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.